Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Diversity, Jurisdiction, and Unincorporated Entities Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 7th, 2016, the Supreme Court decided Americold Realty Trust v. ConAgra Foods, a case giving rise to a dispute over the scope of federal court's diversity jurisdiction. A group of corporations whose food perished in a warehouse fire sued the warehouse owner, currently known as Americold Realty Trust, in Kansas State Court. Americold then removed the suit to the U.S. District Court for the District of Kansas, which accepted jurisdiction and resolved the dispute in favor of Americold. On appeal, however, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Tenth Circuit held that the District Court had lacked jurisdiction. Although the parties argued that diversity jurisdiction existed because the suit involved citizens of different states, the Tenth Circuit disagreed. As a trust and not a corporation, the court reasoned, Americold's citizenship depended on that of its members, including shareholders. Given the lack of evidence regarding the shareholders' citizenship, the court held, the parties had failed to demonstrate that the plaintiffs were citizens of different states than the defendants. By a vote of 8-0, the Supreme Court affirmed the judgment of the Tenth Circuit, holding that for purposes of diversity jurisdiction, the citizenship of an unincorporated entity depends on the citizenship of all its members. Under Maryland law, a real estate investment trust is held and managed for the benefit of its shareholders, the court explained. So Americold's members include its shareholders. Justice Sotomayor delivered the opinion for a unanimous court. To discuss the case, we have Eric Zimmerman, who is an attorney with Robinson Bradshaw in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Zimmerman.
The question in this case was how to determine the citizenship of a business entity for purposes of the diversity jurisdiction of the federal courts. The particular entity at issue in the case was it's called a Real Estate Investment Trust, or REIT. And in a unanimous decision authored by Justice Sotomayor, the Supreme Court held that a real estate investment trust, like other unincorporated business associations, takes on the citizenship of all of its members. The court further held that the members of a real estate investment trust are its shareholders. The upshot in this case was that the trust before the court was not diverse from the opposing parties in the case, and the state law claims, therefore, could proceed only in state court and not in federal court. So to unpack all of that, I'm going to briefly provide a little background on the Americold case and the law of diversity jurisdiction. I'll then describe the court's decision in a little more detail, and then I'll conclude by offering a few observations about the decision and its impact going forward. The Americold case involved state law claims that arose from a fire that occurred at a food storage warehouse. That fire happened in 1991, so just as an aside, this case is Exhibit A for the maxim that the wheels of justice can turn slowly. And in fact, after 25 years of litigation, the issue that came before the Supreme Court in this case was still the threshold question of where the case belonged, whether it could be litigated in federal court or had to be decided in state court. And that question turned on the scope of the federal court's diversity jurisdiction. So by way of background, under their diversity jurisdiction, federal courts can decide state law disputes between citizens of different states. When dealing with a natural person, citizenship is generally straightforward to resolve. It turns on the state in which the citizen resides. But the analysis is more complicated for business entities, which can be citizens of multiple states. And the Supreme Court has previously held that business associations that are not incorporated generally take on the citizenship of all of their members. So, for example, a partnership with partners who live in states A, B, and C is considered a citizen of all three of those states. And the result is that large partnerships or other business associations are often citizens of many different states, which makes it more difficult for them to invoke the federal court's diversity jurisdiction. The Supreme Court has carved out an exception to that general rule for corporations. So the court has held, unlike other business associations, corporations are not citizens of every state in which their members or shareholders reside. And instead, corporations have a more limited citizenship. They are citizens only of the states in which they are incorporated and the states in which they have their principal place of business. So the upshot is that corporations generally have an easier time invoking the diversity jurisdiction of the federal courts. In the Americold case, the Supreme Court faced the question of how to apply those rules on citizenship to a different kind of business entity, one that it had never previously encountered, at least directly in its decisions, the Real Estate Investment Trust. A real estate investment trust is a business entity, just to provide a brief overview. It's created by state law, and as its name suggests, it invests in real estate. Some of these trusts are organized as corporations, others are unincorporated, but either way, the entity is owned by shareholders, and it can be owned by a large number of shareholders. In fact, some of these real estate investment trusts are publicly traded and have millions of shareholders. And they're also generally organized to have trustees that manage the trust and its property, much like the board of directors would do for a corporation. The real estate investment trust before the court in the Americold case, Americold, was organized as an unincorporated association. So the question before the court was how to determine the citizenship of this entity, an unincorporated real estate investment trust. The trust, Americold, argued that it should be deemed a citizen only of the state in which its trustees were citizens, which would have been a small number of states, about five. Americold relied on a line of cases that involved common law trusts, and in those cases, the named parties to the case were the trustees themselves rather than the trust. So the trustees would bring suit on behalf of the trust, or they would be sued in a dispute involving trust property. In those cases, the Supreme Court held that diversity jurisdiction turned on the citizenship of the trustees because the trustees were the named parties to the case. Americold argued that the result should be the same here, and that its citizenship should be determined based on the citizenship of its trustees. It pointed out that even though Americold was the named party in this case itself or in some other case, the trustees could just have easily been the named parties as a matter of state law. And in that circumstance, the trustees' citizenship would have been controlling. And so Americold argued that the result should be the same, whether the trust is the named party or the trustees are the named parties, because the suit is going to proceed in the same way regardless, and so it would be arbitrary to have the result turn on which party happens to be named in the caption. The Supreme Court rejected that argument, however, and it held that the citizenship of an unincorporated real estate investment trust like Americold is based on the citizenship of its shareholders, not its trustees. The court looked at its previous decisions and said that they established a bright line rule. And the way the court described that rule was that if an entity is a corporation, it's a citizenship of those limited number of states in which it is incorporated and has its principal place of business. And if it's not a corporation, then it's a citizen of every state in which its members are citizens. So for any entity that's not incorporated, you look through the corporation to its members. And that means that all unincorporated associations are treated alike, and the only exception is for corporations. And so here the court held that in applying that bright line rule, it made no difference that Americold was called a trust or treated as a trust in some respects under state law. The determinative factor was that Americold was unincorporated and it had been sued in its own name. The named party was this trust, and it was an unincorporated entity, and its citizenship therefore turned on the citizenship of its members. The court also held that the members, which are the dispositive parties for purposes of an unincorporated entity, for a real estate investment trust, the members are the shareholders, not the trustees. And so that the result is that the unincorporated trust therefore takes on the citizenship of the shareholders when it's the named party. In reaching its conclusion, the court also rejected an alternative approach that was proposed by an amicus, the National Association of Real Estate Investment Trusts, which argued that a real estate investment trust should be treated like a corporation for purposes of diversity jurisdiction. The amicus argued that in all practical respects, real estate investment trusts are the same whether they're incorporated or unincorporated, and many of them are incorporated, but it just so happens that some are not by virtue of the history of these entities and certain state law labels that are applied to them. But the amicus argue that it would be arbitrary for the jurisdictional question to come out differently depending on the happenstance of whether a particular trust happens to be incorporated or not. But here, too, the Supreme Court enforced its bright line rule and said, as long as the real estate investment trust is unincorporated as a matter of state law, it's governed by the general rule, and you have to look to the citizenship of its shareholders. And it held that it was up to Congress, not the Supreme Court, to change this rule, even if it led to arbitrary results. That's the court's decision. I'll conclude with a couple of observations about it and its potential impact. The first thing that jumps out at me about the decision in Americold is that I think it demonstrates that when it comes to jurisdictional rules, the Supreme Court is often more concerned with adopting a rule that's clear than a rule that is correct. You know, at both the oral argument in the case and in its decision, I think the justices made clear that they really wanted to maintain a clear distinction between corporations and unincorporated entities for purposes of diversity jurisdiction. They were concerned that if they tried to carve out any sort of exception for real estate investment trusts, it would sow a great deal of uncertainty, and that uncertainty would spread to other types of unincorporated associations and just make a lot of the law on diversity jurisdiction for entities other than corporations unclear. At the same time, the court did not dispute that its bright line rule could lead to arbitrary results. So, for example, Americold argued that the Supreme Court's rule creates opportunities for forum shopping because a plaintiff can control whether a federal forum is available simply by virtue of suing either the trust itself or suing the trustees, because that affects the citizenship of the defendant and will determine whether diversity exists. And similarly, the amicus argued that the bright line rule is going to have arbitrary effects because diversity jurisdiction will turn on whether the real estate investment trust happens to be incorporated or not. And although that distinction apparently makes no difference in the real world, it would make all the difference for purposes of whether the trust can litigate in federal court. The court didn't appear to dispute that its rule could lead to these arbitrary effects, but it seems to have implicitly concluded that it was willing to accept these arbitrary results in order to secure the benefit of maintaining a clear rule on the jurisdiction of unincorporated entities. And the second observation is that it's interesting to consider, I think, the impact that this decision will have on the federal caseload going forward. You could look at this decision and say that the effect seems to be to reduce the number of cases that can be brought in federal court, at least cases involving real estate investment trusts, because now unincorporated real estate investment trusts are going to have a much more difficult time invoking the diversity jurisdiction of the federal court. And in fact, at oral argument, Chief Justice Roberts mentioned this potential reduction in the federal caseload as a consideration that might favor applying the general bright line rule. It's possible, however, that the decision might not have that effect on the federal caseload, depending on how trusts react to it. And that's because the decision could have the consequence of prompting real estate investment trusts to organize as corporations rather than as unincorporated associations. In fact, the amicus brief in the case suggested that there's no reason that a real estate investment trust couldn't incorporate rather than remaining unincorporated. And so to the extent that these trusts truly care about whether they can litigate in federal court, they could address the court's decision and try to avoid its impact by reorganizing or organizing in the first place as corporations. And in that case, the number of cases involving these trusts in the federal courts ultimately wouldn't change. And the only change would really be in the captions of the cases. Again, that seems like an arbitrary result, but it seems to be something that the Supreme Court is willing to accept as the price to pay for clear jurisdictional rules.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.